Blog Talk Radio.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, a good seven, good strong, good strong, good strong, good strong, good sabbatically speaking. Yes, I. Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks.
When Israel went unto Egypt, the oath of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his signature, and Israel is the mark. The sea saw it, and feel Jordan was driving back. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of the sinner, nor sit upon the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the law, and his night we meditate day and night. The mountain shall skip like ram, and the little hills like lamb. What ill trees, though the seas that the flattest, thou Jordan, that thou was driving back. 40 days and 40 nights, the Almighty God alone in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights, the Almighty God in the wilderness. When Israel went out of Egypt and the house of Jacob from the people of strange language, Judah was sanitary and Israel demand. The sea saw, the fields of Jordan were driving back. The mountain shall skip like ram, the little hill like lamb. Cause I and I now come like lamb to the slaughter. I and I come in a lion fall, lion fall. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of the sinner, nor sit upon the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord God, the Rastafari. In his night we meditate day and night. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever man doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not soft, they are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in his judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. When Israel went out of Egypt and the house of Jacob from the people of strange language, Judah was his sanitary and Israel was the man. The sea saw it and Phil Jordan was driving back. Blessed are the meek, for they shall see the kingdom of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Thank you.
48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide,
מזמור ממחת, שיר מזמור לבני קורח. גדול אדוני ומהולל מאוד, בעיר אלוהינו הר קודשו. יפה נוף מסוש כל הארץ, הר ציון ירקתי צפון, קריית מלך רב. אלוהים בארמנותיה נודע למשגב, כי הנה המלכים נועדו, עברו יחדיו. הם מראו כן תמהו, נבהלו נחפזו. רעדה אחזתם שם, חיל כיולדה. ורוח קדים תשבר אוניות תרשיש. כאשר שמענו כן ראינו, בעיר אדוני צבאות בעיר אלוהינו. אלוהים יכונניה עד עולם סלע. דימינו אלוהים חסדך בקרב היכלך. כשמך אלוהים כן תהילתך על קץ וארץ, צדק מלאה ימיניך. ישמח הר ציון, תגלנה בנות יהודה למען משפטיך. שופו ציון והקיפוה, ספרו מגדליה. שיטו לבכם לחילה, וסגו ארמנותיה. למען תספרו לדור אחרון, כי זה אלוהים אלוהינו עולם ועד, הוא ינהגנו על מות. מזמור ממחת, שיר מזמור לבני קורח.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, forever.
מזמור ס"ט למנצח על שושנים לדוד.
Save me, O God, God, God.
הושיעני, אלוהים, אלוהים, אלוהים.
For the waters are coming unto my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul.
כי באו מים עד נפש, 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 נפש.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from my servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw an eye unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein, 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 dwell
therein.
I am that I am, mighty and thunderable, exabir masakan, gramawi rasvatar madani alam, tina isteling the coast and the gast. Sai tuga, sai tuga, sai tuga.
Time is slipping away, and I reach I go, yes. See we dance, see we dance. That's up for us, time. Time, children, baby time. This is up for us, time. Time is up for us, time.
Feel for cry, oh Lord, my people suffer many more as God die. Like Jesus will save you with them crucified. Swing him on the cross and call that crucified. Back up on it, head him, hang him up so high. When remember crucifixion, me feel for cry. Oh Lord, my God, I never chance to eye. Not everything that I suffer so for many more as God die. Like Jesus will save you with them crucified. Swing him on the
Yo, 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 yo. Open up your eyes. Youth man, you can grow. And it's time you know. When we were young, life was no fun. Didn't have money. When you're black and in the ghetto, then your life is sure ain't funny. No money, yeah. Now that we're old, we see what we control. And in our hours, we give thanks and praise to Haile Selassie. Boy, yeah, yeah, yeah. Open up your eyes. Youth man, you can grow. And it's time you know. You can grow. Thanks and praise to Haile Selassie. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open up your eyes. Youth man, you can grow. And it's time you know.
The Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 23, Pikude, Accountings of, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, with Habain, Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the One. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Tate Zain, verse 17, Yod Zain. Halo Yedaitem, ki Hekal Elohim Atem, Ruach Elohim Shokain Bekerbekem Weish Asher Yashchit et Hekal Elohim Ha Elohim Yashchit Oto Ki Hekal Elohim Kadosh We Atem Hekalo. Know ye not that ye are the temple of Elohim, and that the Spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim downstroy, for the temple of Elohim is holy, that temple, ER. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, Yod. Yesh lanu mizbeach asher ein lahem rishut limsharte hamishkan le'akol me'alayo. Christian separation and worship. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakadamawi, khaile selase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power, glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
First Kings, chapter 7, verse 51, chapter 8, verse 21. So was ended all the work that Nagus Solomon made for the house of Yahweh. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels that he put among the treasures of the house of Yahweh. Chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads, the rashes of the tribe, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, the Bani Israel, to King Solomon, Nagus Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh of the city of Dawid, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves to Nagus Solomon at the feast in the month of Abanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priest Kohen took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of Yahweh, Buduku, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the Kohen, the priest, and the Levites bring up. And the Nagus Solomon, King Solomon, and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled to him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, that they could not be told or numbered for multitude. And the Kohen, the priest, brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh Buruku to his place and to the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are till this day. There was nothing in the ark save two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yahweh Buruku made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the Kohen, the priest, were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yahweh Buruku, so that the priest, the Kohen, could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory, the Kibbutz, had filled the house of Yahweh. Then spoke Solomon. Yahweh said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Baruch atah Yahweh Elohim Israel. Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth to David, my Ab, my father, and have with his hand filled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house. that my name might be therein. But I chose Dawid to be over my people Yisrael. And it was in the heart of Dawid, my Ab, my father, to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohim Israel. And it was in the heart of Dawid, my Ab, to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohim Israel. And Yahweh said to Dawid, my Ab, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house to my name, Hashem, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, thy bane, that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house to my name. Hashem. And Yahweh Buruku have performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of Dawid, my Ab, and sit on the throne of Yisrael as Yahweh promised, and have built a house for the name of Shem of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark wherein is the covenant of Yahweh Buruku, which he made with our fathers, our Abamoch, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Amen.
Every day make all ready to be righteous. Just rule up the split, let me like this. Yeshua HaMashiach here like this. The teachings of the majesty of Christ. The whole world went around in a crisis, cause the Christless. They don't even understand what the Christ is, for their life is until they lifeless. And I hate living like this, when I'ma remain to be righteous.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this, who don't know this, who don't know this.
We're now on the road and heading to Aksum, where some Ethiopians believe they have not only the Ark, but the tablets of the Ten Commandments too.
Well, this is the village of the Ark, Aksum.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Well, it's a lot more rustic than I was expecting.
It's a small little village, but they claim that they have the Ark of the Covenant from the Bible.
Where would it be?
Well, in that cluster of little churches down there, there's one very important church.
Ethiopians believe the Ark was brought here to Aksum from Tanakirkos Island in the 4th century AD by an Ethiopian king named Izana. But Aksum has even more ancient ties to the Ark. It's the legendary birthplace of the Queen of Sheba, the mother of Prince Menelik, who is said to have brought the Ark to Ethiopia.
He doesn't stop us, just keep going.
And now, we're finally closing in on the spot where this elusive treasure is said to rest today.
In that chapel of St. Mary's of Zion, they claim to have the actual Ark of the Covenant.
This is it.
This is the chapel that houses the Ark, they say.
This is what we've come to see. I asked Bob how close we can get to the Ark itself. He says, no one gets past the keeper or guardian of the Ark. It's rare to even see him.
The guardian of the Ark lives here, and he never gets beyond these bars. His entire life is spent inside this small little barred-in complex. He's the keeper of the Ark. He claims to be from the line of the Levites, and no one is allowed to see the Ark but him.
In the Bible, too, the Levite priests were the only ones considered holy enough to see the Ark. It's one more piece of an amazing puzzle. Tonight, there's a festival here to celebrate the Ark. A feeling of reverence fills the air as the procession begins. This is a celebration of the very object we've been searching for.
One of 2 days during the year when they do this massive celebration, and the whole town has gotten up.
The residents of Axum deeply believe that the Ark of the Covenant resides in their village, and thousands of pilgrims have journeyed to this African nation to worship an ancient treasure once prized above all others in the Jewish faith. Yet tonight, the Ethiopians invoke the power of the Ark to celebrate a Christian icon, the Virgin Mary.
This is Mahela Day. Mahela means begging. They're actually begging God to avoid pain and disaster in their lives. Since the beginning of the rainy season, they're praying for rain.
The Ethiopians are as convinced they possess the Ark and Ten Commandments as the ancient Israelites were. And like the Israelites, they also believe the Ark is their direct link to God. The power of their faith is so strong that the people continue their ceremony from dusk till dawn, praying toward the holy object in front of them. But this Ark, or Tabot, is also a replica, just like those in other Ethiopian churches and like the one I saw in Jerusalem. The real Ark, if it is the real Ark, never leaves the protection of the guardian. It's too precious. So while this is not the real Ark of the Covenant, there's no doubt it represents the same sacred object the Bible describes in the book of Exodus. And seeing the precious Tabot through the streets reminds me of how the Israelites were said to carry their Ark of the Covenant through the deserts more than 3,000 years ago. When the ceremony ends, the priests return the Tabot to St. Mary of Zion Church, where they say it rests next to the real Ark. Our long pilgrimage is over. I've come as close to the Ark as anyone can get. It's been quite a journey, from the vast Middle Eastern deserts to the peak of Mount Sinai, from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, up Deber Damo and across the stormy lake to Tana Kyrkos, where the priests have such compelling evidence that the Ark was once on their island. I followed the trail of the Ark to the very end, and I definitely learned something here. Taking part in the festival and seeing the devotion of the townspeople firsthand has made me realize what the faithful already know.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening.
And in Axum, I came across the most extraordinary story. It's a sacred city. It has a cathedral, the Cathedral of St. Mary of Zion. It's important to register that Ethiopia is a very ancient Christian country. And in fact, it adopted Christianity long before Europe and Britain did, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia is one of the oldest Christian countries on earth. And in Axum, I found, talking to the monks and the priests of Axum, that they were making the most amazing claim. They said that their city was the last resting place of the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
Now this is the same Ark of the Covenant that we're all familiar with from the wonderful Indiana Jones movie, mm-hmm. Raiders of the Lost Ark, which had been released actually not long before I went to Axum. So I immediately pricked up my ears and thought, what on earth is this about? And I was taken to a chapel surrounded by steel railings in the courtyard of the Cathedral of St. Mary of Zion, and there I met an ancient monk who was the guardian of the Ark, and he explained to me very solemnly that in the building behind him was the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh,
and
really?
It was his role, his responsibility, his sacred trust to guard and protect the Ark of the Covenant. Oh. And could I see it? No, certainly I could not see it. As a matter of fact, nobody was allowed to see it except him. In fact, it was a very dangerous object on such rare occasions that it was brought out of the chapel. He explained that it was always wrapped in cloth and in leather bindings, and this was not to protect it from the public, but to protect the public from it.
Yeah.
And I thought this was the most extraordinary and fascinating story, but obviously I wasn't sure whether there was any truth to it or not. It became something that I wanted to investigate. Was this just a bunch of crazy old monks hitting a story?
Right.
Or was it actually possible that it could be true? And during the 1980s, really as a kind of background to other things I was doing, and without any particular focus, I began to gather information on this story. And I began to talk to academics and scholars about it, and I found most of the academics were very dismissive of the Ethiopian claim. Yes, they had heard that Ethiopia claimed to possess the Ark of the Covenant, but no, it couldn't possibly be true. That tended to be their attitude, and yet I found that these were people who really knew nothing about the Ethiopian claim. And the Ethiopian claim, as I discovered, was, as my research continued, extends much further than Aksum. In fact, every single church in Ethiopia, Christian church, contains a replica of the Ark of the Covenant, which is kept in its Holy of Holies.
Hmm.
We're talking about more than 20,000 churches with 20,000 replicas here. And these replicas are so important that if they're taken out of the church, then the church ceases to be a sacred building. It's deconsecrated. So there was clearly some, and all of them gained their power by reference to the original Ark of the Covenant in the sanctuary chapel in Aksum,
in
northern Ethiopia. Right. And I felt that something so widespread and so intense and so strongly felt throughout the whole culture couldn't just be based on nothing, as the academics said. So I continued to research and investigate this matter further, and I found that there were many anomalies and many problems. For example, Ethiopia at that time contained a Jewish population, and these were, they were called the Falashas, and they were also known as the Beta Israel, the House of Israel. And they were practicing a very ancient form of Judaism, a pre-Talmudic form of Judaism. They still practiced sacrifice. They had priests, which is quite unknown in modern Judaism. They did not have rabbis. And it seemed that they were a sort of frozen pocket of Old Testament Judaism in Ethiopia. And so gradually, as the pieces came together, I began to realize that Ethiopia did indeed have a claim to possess the Ark of the Covenant.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
Yes. Rav Tov, Rav Tov. Good evening, good evening. Here, Rastafari Midrash Mondays. Right here. We begin a new book of HaTorah, the third book of Moshe. It's called Leviticus, or the Sefer Vayikra, modern Hebrew Sefer Vayikra, or Wa and Yikra, and he called. Now, some of the audibles here you've heard concerning the Ark of the Covenant from some of the documentary videos. The last audible was from Dr. Ephraim Yitzhak, Dr. Ephraim Isaacs, Dr. Ephraim Yitzhak. He has a good book. There's a good book that he writes about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church and him being a Yehudi, a Judahite, we could say, Beta Israel. You know, Beta Israel, Ethiopian. He actually does a good comparative study, you know, from a so-called Hebraic and a Judaic perspective, and with the Ethiopian Hebrew testimony, the testimony of the Israelites of Ethiopia. So we kind of just zoom in on this. We have today's daily psalm, which is Psalm 69, which we had cued it actually for the 47th sabbatical study, but it's also should be cued right here for this 24th weekly Torah portion, Vayikra, where we begin the handbook, what's referred to as the handbook of the priesthood, Leviticus, the Levitical priesthood, you know, mainly the sons of Aaron and also the co-laborers, the Levites, all of the priests, the Kohanim, are to be of the seed of Aharon, Aaron, right? And all of the priests are Levites, but not all of the Levites are priests, according to HaTorah's directions and instructions. But here, picking up here with Vayikra, we pick up with the directions, instructions for sacrifice and for offering. And this is a key right here, therefore, even with the Ark of the Covenant. And at this particular point in time, I'm going to go through a synopsis, but at this particular point in time, we have, according to the narrative here in the third book of Moses, Leviticus, we have the tabernacle has already been set up. The tabernacle is already active from the previous Exodus. You know, at least a good majority of Exodus, we get the instructions for the construction of the structure that is known as the Mishkan, that's known as the sanctuary, the dwelling place for Yahweh Eloheinu, for Jehovah and I Elohim to dwell amongst his people. But here, before we ride up with that, and also the first and second Aliyot right here, at the second day of the Shavua Tov, a good week, a good strong right here. Here, a little classic tune, Ras Ivai, concerning the Ark of the Covenant, Nyabingi chant. Love this chant here. It says, if you don't know the history of the Ark, you're a skylark. You know, but the real history, the groundation, right, of Ethiopia being the most, how does Ephraim Isaac says it, the most Jewish of the Christian churches. Just hear this again.
I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
Most Judaic. Even in modern Judaism, within most of the synagogues or the Jewish churches, there is a symbolic, we can say, ark. You know, within that particular ark, they keep the Torah scrolls, the symbolic ark. So when we hear about the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, you know, being a kind of an ark, some say ark worship, but the ark being used within the particular and peculiar worship, even of the Ethiopian Tewahedo Church. But here,
let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
Hands up. Yes, sir.
Ethiopia, the first country mentioned in the Bible, possesses the sacred Ark of the Covenant, the most ancient biblical artifact. But be remembered, the Ark, it cannot be conquered. To all Ethiopians, those at home and those abroad, must I knight, in the name of his imperial majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, and restore his ancient glory.
Don't know that it's the
Rastafari right there. History of the Ark. The history of the Ark begins right here in HaTorah, in the Torah, the groundation. And what we get to learn by studying even the testimony of the Israelites of Ethiopia and the faithful of the Ethiopian Tewahedo faith, we get to recognize as an intimate knowledge, some things that are written in some of their documents might be hard for ones to really connect the dots, you know, and understand. But as Ephraim Yitzhak, so aptly put it, the most Judaic, and we could say Hebraic. So let's get to the groundation right here. Here we pick up with the 24th weekly Torah portion reading and feeding right here, Sinai Sabbatical Studies. For this strong right here with Vayikra, often called Vayikra, modern Hebrew Vayikra, in the ancient Afro-Shemitic, linguistically speaking, we say Afro, we don't mean the hairstyle, we mean linguistics here, Afro-Shemitically speaking, you know, here, Vayikra, Vayikra.
Sabbatical study, this Ainai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
So here, first words here for this 24th sabbatical study for this Rastafari Shabbat strong right here. Vayikra, and he called. So this is start from low degrees to high degrees, KJV. Here we begin the third book of Moses, that's called Leviticus. Third book of Moshe, of Moshe, that is called Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, here the KJV reads, and the Lord and Yahuwah called to Moshe and spake to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, here, first words, and Yahuwah called, Vayikra. Here, from HaTorah, here the Hebrew, first words, Vayikra. Ela Moshe, Vaydaber Yahuwah Elayo. May Ohel Moed Leimor, and Yahuwah and Jehovah called, Vayikra. So here the order of the words is Vayikra. Together, Vayikra. And he called El Moshe, Vaydaber, and spoke Yahuwah, he be HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem Elayo, to him, may from Ohel, from the tent Moed, Ohel Moed, may Ohel Moed, from the tent of the Moed, the tent of the appointment, the tent of the meeting, lay more, and saying, so here, and Jehovah and Yahuwah called to Moses, to Moshe, and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying. Now KJV has it as the tabernacle of the congregation, the King James translation of the Ohel. Ohel is a tent, Moed, of meeting. In fact, I think it's what Psalm 70, is it 74? When it says they have destroyed all the synagogues of the land, the word there in the KJV translates synagogues is actually the Moed, right? And also what we call the feasts and the festivals, right? The appointed times, the Moedim, for like the appointments, plural. But here we have the Ohel Moed, the tent of appointment, the tent of meeting that KJV calls, right here, the tabernacle of the congregation, or more directly, the tent of appointment, the tent of meeting. Hebrew first words, right here, Vayikra El Moshe, Vaydaber Yahuwah Elayo, May Ohel Moed Leimor. Now, a key right here, That's the first words. But within the sense of this, let's go to the second verse right here. KJV reads, it says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man of you bring an offering to Jehovah, you all shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. So right here, verse 2 right here from the Sefer Vayikra. Daber el bnei Yisrael, we amarta elehem Adam ki yakriv mi kem karban la Yahuwah min ha behema min ha bakar u min hatzon takribu. Here, speak to the children of Israel. Dabir, speak, dabir. El b'nei, to the sons of Yisrael. El b'nei Yisrael. We amarta. And say to them, we amarta, the I, male, speaking to Moshe, the I, say to them, we amarta. Elehem to them. Adam, very interesting right here. It has Adam. So in the KJV, it says, any man. What does KJV says? It says, if any man of you. Right here, it says Adam. Right? If any Adam. Adam ki yakrib. Right? If Adam yakrib. If any man, general man, any man. Man in that collective sense, if any man, if any Adam ki yakri, if he brings near me kem from them, karban, offering la Yahuwah to Jehovah, mean from habehema, from the behema. The behema is the cattle, behema, ha, the behema, mean, from, ha, behema, mean, ha, bakar, the bakar is like say, the bovine, like the oxen, in that sense, but here they bring it out as, right here, the herd, it says, even of the herd, the bakar, ooh, and mean from Hatzon. The son is the flock. Takribo. I takribo. Y'all shall bring. Here. First words right here. Keyword, Wayikra. And he called. Who called? Yahuwah called. Moshe to Moses. Vayikra el Moshe Vaydabir Yahuwah Elayo. Me ohela moeda lemor. Dabir el bnei Yisrael ulamata lehem. Adam kia yakriba mikem. Karban la Yahuwah. Min habehema. Min habakar. Umin hatzon. Takribo. And Jehovah called to Moshe and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moed, the tent of appointment, saying, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, and say to them, when any man, any Adam of you bringeth an offering la Yahuwah to Jehovah, y'all shall bring, takribu, your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, or of the flock. Hebrew first words right here. Vayikra. And he called. Vayikra.
Sabbatical study. This Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
So right here. That was just like the first words right there. But let's get a better context of what we have right here. We have Leviticus, right? Or Hebraically, Vayikra. And he called the Sefer Vayikra, the cipher, the scroll, right? You could say the document. and he called. Leviticus, called Leviticus, the third book of Moshe, called Leviticus. Leviticus stands in the same relation to the Exodus, that the epistles in the New Covenant of Brit Chadasha, that the epistles do to the Gospels. Exodus is the record of redemption and lays the foundation, you could say the groundation, the foundation of the cleansing, the worship, and the service of a redeemed people. Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra, it gives the detail of the walk of the tribe, the worship, and the service of that people, of Yah people. In Exodus, Ha Elohim, the true Elohim, speaks out of the mountain to that approach was forbidden. So Ha Elohim spoke out of the mount, Har Sinai, to that approach, drawing near, was forbidden. In Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra, he speaks out of the tabernacle, in that he dwells in the midst of his people, in the midst of Jah people, to tell them that that befits, that's proper, that's fitting, his holiness, his set-apartness, Kedusha, in their approach. That which is proper and befits his holiness in their approach, in their drawing near to, and communion with himself. Hear, hear, hear. Did you get that part there, that from the mountain that Ha Elohim spoke, the true Elohim spoke, approach was forbidden. But here now in the third book of Moshe, what's known as the handbook of the Kohanim, the Torot HaKohanim, the Torahs. The Torah is like a direction instruction, and there are various different direction instructions. Collectively, we say Torah, right, as a collective, right, direction instructions. But here we have the Torot, the direction instructions of HaKohanim, right, and HaLewim, right, of the priests. Right, the priest, the priesthood, the kahuna, as well as the serving Levites, Ha Lewin. But now here he speaks out of the tabernacle. Now note this right here, 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 Chaberim. This little build here on the first words. When we look at the last portion from Exodus chapter 40, if you go to verse 34, it says, then a cloud, Anan, covered the tent of the congregation. See, the tent of the congregation, translation in Leviticus chapter 1, they say tabernacle. The Hebrew is the Ohel Moed. Same thing right here, the tent of the congregation, the tent of meeting, the tent of appointment. Then the cloud covered the Ohel Moed, and the glory, the Kavod of Yahuwah, filled the tabernacle. And Moshe, Moses, was not able to enter into the Ohel Moed, into the tent of meeting, the tent of the appointment, because the cloud, Ha Anan, abode thereon, and the Kavod of Yahuwah, filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the Bnei Yisrael went onward in their journeys. So it's interesting right here, what we have here is a narration that when the cloud covered the tent of meeting, right? But then this verse right here, it shows what the principle, how the cloud, the ancient cloud technology, right, amongst the children of Israel, the cloud technology of Yahuwah Eloheinu, Jehovah Einai Elohim. He says right here that when the cloud was taken up, when it rose up, right, from over the tabernacle, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, they went onward in all their journeys, in all their tribes. But, verse 37, if the cloud was not taken up, if it did not rise up, right, if it wasn't taken up, if it didn't aliyah up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. But here's the key verse right here, verse 38. For the cloud of Yahuwah was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Yisrael, the Beit Yisrael, the Beta Israel, the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. Now, it's interesting right here, 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 because Moshe, at the end of Exodus, he was not able to enter in. He wasn't able to enter in. You know, check. He was able, why? Because the cloud. But then we now scroll here to the Sefer Vayikra, to the third book, from the second, the end of the second book to the third book, and we see that Yahuwah, Jehovah called to Moshe. Basically, Yahuwah, Jehovah, you could say, like, called him out. You know what I mean? Almost like we say a shout out, but called out, right, from the tent of meeting, from the Ohel Moed, to Moses right here, and gave him this instruction that we have right here. Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Yahuwah Elayo, May Ohel Moed Lemor. And Jehovah called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying. So what do we have right here? And he who be, who he be called. Vayikra Yahuwah. Vayikra. Well, full of full, he called to Moses and he spoke to him. But here the key word, Vayikra. He, yikra, kara, takara, kara, kara, to call out. Vayikra. Right, very, very important word. You know, some call the scriptures, they say the Tanakh. But you question that since it was a Canaanite town named Tanakh. It's the same Tanakh. But more correctly, the scriptures, the Mikra, right? The Mikra, Mikra from Kara, to call out. It also means to read, to Kara, to read. Mikra, the scriptures, that which is read. And it also has the sense of like calling on one by name. Right? But here he called out to Moses. When Elohim, the true Elohim, wished to express, when Ha'elohim wished to express affection, we learn this from study of the scripts, the Mikra, right? That when he wished to express affection for a person, what does Yahuwah do? He calls him first by name. You get to see this in the scripts. When he seeks to show affection for one, he calls him by name. Vayikra il Moshe. He called to Moses. Moshe, Moshe. Vayidaber, and spoke, right, to Moses. Now here, in the context of the script, this is excluding Aharon. This is excluding Aaron. There's times when he calls to both of them, but here he calls directly il Moshe, right, to Moses. And he spoke to him. Yidabir, wa yidabir, wa yidabir, wa yidabir, and he spoke to him. He spoke to him. Wa yidabir Yahuwah Elai. He spoke to him. To emphasize that Moshe, right, some say this would emphasize here, that Moses alone, right, heard Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim's voice. It says, out of the tent of meeting. Out of where? Out of the tent of meeting. May Ohel Moed. Out of the tent of appointment. The same tent that the cloud previously had filled up. And Moses was not able. Scripts say at the end of Exodus, the second book, it says in verse 35, Exodus 40, 35, and Moshe was not able to enter the tent of the congregation, the Ohel Moed. Why? Because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory, it says what? The glory, the kavod of Yahuwah filled the tabernacle. There's a note here in Schofield Study Bible says, CF confer with Ephesians 11:22. Let's go here to the Brit Kadash. All right, so it means like here a little, there a little. So Ephesians chapter 2. What is Ephesians chapter 2? Chapter 2 at verse, let's get this verse right here, here, here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. 2:22. So we get to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, and it reads, in whom ye, y'all also are builded together. Note the correspondence and comparison with the tabernacle being built together. In whom ye, y'all, also are builded together for inhabitation. Y'all are builded together for what? For inhabitation of Elohim through Haruach, to ha ruach, through the ruach, my ha ruach, through the spirit, through the iris. So he has a footnote that says what the Shekinah glory, kavod, was to the tabernacle. So what is called the Shekinah glory, what that was to the tabernacle, the Mishkan, right, and the Hekal, and the temple, even the temple of Yerushalayim, that the spirit, ha-ruach, the ruach, is to the holy temple. That is to say, when we say the church, remember the Kehillah called out assemblies, I and I, together, not the building, but the church, and to the temple, that is the believers, the one who yea and amen, to their body. And therefore, we even have a comparison right here with 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that reads, What know y'all not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKadosh, of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that y'all have of Elohim, and y'all are not your own? Right here, here, here. And then verse 20, just to seal, it says, for y'all are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim, the true power, the Almighty, in your body and in your spirit, that are Elohim's, that are his. So we get a connection here from the, we can say, the object lesson. Remember, it says that the Brit Chadash, the new covenant, is the substance of which the Brit Hayashana, what's called the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was like a shadow. So we can see the tabernacle type right here. Learn to read the pattern recognition. So right here, 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 we have a couple of key words. Let's touch on a few key words of Leviticus. A key word of Leviticus is Kedusha, Kedusha, which can be translated as holiness or set apartness. It's good to see that ones are picking up on that, that functional translation and interpretation of the word, like holiness. What is holiness? Kedusha. What is Kedusha? It's like set apartness. This occurs 87 times. In the third book of Moshe, called Leviticus, holiness occurs 87 times. It's some of the key verses, you know, the key verse is chapter 19, verse 2, right? The key verse right here, chapter 19, verse 2. Let's get this chapter 19, let's get this verse. Verse 2, it says right here, it says, speak to all the congregation of the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, and say to them, y'all shall be holy, kedoshim, set apart ones. For I, Yahuwah Elohekem, y'all Elohim, am holy, kadosh. So we are called to be kedoshim, holy ones, as he, even he who be, we be, is kadosh. HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. So right here, that's a key verse, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Now, Leviticus, there's like 9 chief divisions. Let's go over this right here, and hopefully as we go through, we can zoom in. What are the 9 chief divisions of the handbook of the priests, right? It's also known as like the book of sacrifice, of the order of what proper sacrifice, right, is to be, right? First, we have the offerings, chapter 1 to chapter 6, verse 7. Secondarily, we have the law of the offerings, chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 7, verse 38. Thirdly, we have consecration, chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 9, verse 24. Fourthly, we have a warning example in chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. Fifthly, we have a holy set apart El, Ha'el, right? Elohim, power, must have a cleansed people. We have this in chapters 11 to chapter 15. The sixth part, right, we have here is atonement, Kippurim, atonement, that sense of covering, at one man. Here, chapter 16, right, and chapter 17. The seventh part, right, of the 9 chief divisions here in Leviticus is the relationships, right, of Yah people, of Jah people. This is chapter 18 to chapter 22. The eighth part we have right here, the eighth part we have is the feast of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, in chapter 23. And the ninth part is the instructions and warnings, chapter 24 to chapter 27, right here, here, here. Now, there's a key that we're going to point out right here. Let's see, do we go through the notes right here? We'll pick up with this right here. Here, there's a key right here when it says, if, right? Get that word right there, if, right? If. He didn't say you have to, right? But if any man was sacrificed, this would be the order, right? This would be the order right here. So Moshe was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of Yahuwah filled the tabernacle. We have this in chapter 40, verse 35. The voice was heard by him proceeding out of the tent. Right? He's being called out of the tent, saying, this is before giving Yisrael the other commandments enumerated, the commandments concerning sacrifice that are enumerated in this sefer, right? This sefer and this cipher. Ha Elohim stipulated that the laws, the Torah, the directions, instructions regulating sacrifice be strictly observed. When any man, remember that word right there, ki, right? The ki is the if. It says Adam, ki, yakri. If any man, if any Adam, literally if any Adam, offers, right? Like brings forth an offering. The free will offerings are mentioned here. The word Adam is used for man instead of the other Hebrew word for man translated as man, Ish, instead of Ish. So Adam is used here instead of Ish to emphasize that as Adam could only offer that which was his, no other person being then alive, some say, so too one cannot offer a sacrifice that does not belong to him. All right, this is one interpretation of why does it say Adam instead of Ish. Well, in the scripture we get to learn B'nai Adam is like the sons of Adam, is like when it says high and low all together, the high are the B'nai Ish. Even Adam, when the woman was brought to him, he said to the woman, you are Isha, right? It's like a higher level. There's certain levels to the certain Hebrew words. They imply certain things. We would say that the Adam said any man, like all men, any man, for man in general, if he was to offer, how he would offer, right, of you, to exclude offerings brought by heathens and scoffers and others of you, speaking directly to the B'nai Yisrael. All sacrifices had to be accompanied by a sincere confession of guilt, indicative of true repentance or teshuvah, and a metanoia, like a repentance, a change of heart. It indicates that a stolen sacrifice, or something that was stolen, was disqualified. Ye shall bring your offering. Now the verse, it begins in the singular. When any man of you, Adam, Kiyakri, when any man of you shall like offer, right? And it concludes in the plural, takribo, y'all, takribo. So it begins in the singular sense, this verse 2, and it concludes in the plural sense, y'all shall bring, takribo. It begins off, yakrib, he shall bring, Adam, any man shall bring. And it concludes with takribo. Y'all shall bring. Why? To teach that an offering, a karban, karban, so I say korban, a korban, a karban, that an offering may be the free will gift of a community, that even a community, all ones and ones can give collectively, as well as of an individual, an indivisible dual, an individual. also that a sacrifice may be brought in partnership, so ones could offer together. Yours. So this is what this indicates here as we study right here, first words right here for this 24th sabbatical study for Shabbat Vayikra. What does it mean, Chaberim, when it speaks of the cattle? Now, there's a preposition that is used when it says of the cattle, right, of the herd, or of the flock. When it says right here, it says mean ha-behema, mean ha-bakar, u mean ha-tzon. We have the preposition mean in the Hebrew, mean, from, mean ha-behema, of the behema, like to say of the cattle. So the preposition mean is exclusive. Not all animals are qualified, according to the direction instructions here, for sacrifice. Not all animals. Those with which a sexual sin or some perversity had been committed are debarred. The offerings are to be brought only of cattle, herd, or flock, and he who brings them of other species, any other species, is guilty of a transgression. Transgressing. These are the bounds, and going beyond this is going out of bounds. So the offerings, right, the korbanot, are to be brought only of the behema, right, the cattle, of the bakar, of the herd, or of the son, the swan. And he who brings them, Adam, man, who brings them of other species, is guilty of transgression. So right here, just a little build on the first words to get a context of this third book of Moshe, Hebrew book, that is called Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra.
Sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. 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 Shabbat
strong. I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this,
today's daily psalm, we have psalm 9 according to the royal court of Ethiopian Hebrews.
מזמור סמך תת למנצח על שושנים לדוד.
Save me, O God.
הושיעני, אלוהים.
For the waters are coming unto my soul. My soul.
כיבה ומים עד נפש.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from my servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw an eye unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seeks God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein, dwell therein, dwell therein, dwell therein, dwell
therein, dwell therein, dwell therein, dwell therein. Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong. Shabbat.
Shalom, Habarim. Shabbat shalom. Yes, I. Shabbat shalom. Am Yisrael Hai. Yes, I. The people of Yisrael, the man who sees the true good, the true God, live. Am Yisrael Hai, yes I. Shabbat Shalom. And here, picking up with the third book of Moshe, called Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra. Some say enunciate as Vayikra. Here we pick up with the first reading from the third book of Moses that is called and known as Leviticus. For this 24th sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong. B'shem Ha'av V'Habein V'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Echad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he who be, we be, the one. Here picking up with the third book of Moses, with Leviticus, Hebrew first words, Vayikra. Il Moshe, why daberi Yahuwa layo me ohella moeda lemor. chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1, the sweet savor offerings. First item, the burnt offerings. Christ, Moshiach, Messiah, offering himself without spot, without blemish, le'elohim, to Elohim, the true good, the true God. The law of this offering, more in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 to 13. And here, for the first words, the Hebrew first words, Vayikra, Vayikra, Vayikra il Moshe, Vaydaberi Yehovah Elayo, and he who be, who he be, called, he called, and he called, Vayikra il Moshe, to Moses, Vaydaberi Yehovah, Vaydaberi Yehovah, and he who be, who he be, spoke, Elayo, to him, may Ohela Moeda Lemor, and spake to him out of the tabernacle, the Ohel, out of the tent, the Deptera, of the congregation. May Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the tent of the appointment, Lemor, saying, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, speak to the sons, the children of Yisrael, and say to them, if any Adam, if any man of you bring an offering to the Yahweh, ye, y'all, shall bring your offering of the cattle, even, of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be of a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the Petach, of the tabernacle of the congregation, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. And ha-kohanim, and the priests, Aharon's Benayo, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood, Hadam, and sprinkle Hadam, the blood, round about upon the Mizbeach, the altar. That is, by the Petach, the door of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aharon HaKohen, Aaron the priest, shall put fire upon the Mizbeach, the altar, and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And HaKohanim, the priest, Aharon's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat, in order upon the wood, that is, on the fire, which is upon the Mizbeach, the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And HaKohen the priest shall burn all on the Mizbeach, the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by Aish, by fire, of a sweet savor, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely, of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male, Zakar, without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the Mizbeach, northward, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah and HaKohanim, and the priests. Aharon, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the Mizbeach, upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat. And HaKohen, the priest, shall lay them in order on the wood, that is, on the fire, which is upon the Mizbeach, the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and HaKohen the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the Mizbeach, the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by Aish, by fire, of a sweet savor, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. The Sheni Aliyah, the second Aliyah for this Torah portion reading and feeding, Vayikra, here at verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And HaKohen, the priest, shall bring it to HaMizbeach, the altar, and wring off his head and burn it on the altar. And the blood, Hadam, thereof, shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside HaMizbeach, the altar, on the east part, by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And HaKohen, the priest, shall burn it upon HaMizbeach, the altar, upon the wood, that is, upon the ash, fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. Third book of Moshe, called Leviticus, chapter 2. The sweet savor offerings. Second item, the meat, the meal offering. Christ, HaMoshiach, the Messiah, in his human perfections, tested by suffering. See, refer to the law, Torah, of the offerings. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 14 to 23. Here picking up Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. And when any will offer a meal offering, a meat offering, the meal offering, the mincha offering, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aharon's sons, HaKohanim, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And HaKohen, the priest, shall burn the memorial of it upon HaMizbeach, the altar, to be an offering made by Aish, by fire, of a sweet savor, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. And the remnant of the mincha, meal offering, shall be Aaron's and Benayu and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Yahweh made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a mincha, meal offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a mincha, meal offering, bacon, in a pan, it shall be of fine flour unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou, the eye, shall part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a mincha, meal offering.
Father and son.
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 Father and son. Father.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening.
You see, that's a, you think, oh, how primitive, you know, how primitive these people were sacrificing to their God. It's like, you know, those people weren't stupid. And this is not primitive. Whatever it is, it's not primitive. It's sophisticated beyond belief, because the idea, as I already pointed out, is that you could sacrifice something of value and that would have transcendent utility. And that is by no means an unsophisticated idea. In fact, it might be the greatest idea that human beings ever came up with. It's an answer to the problem that's put forward in the story of Adam and Eve, right? Because we became self-conscious, and then we discovered the future, and then we knew we were going to die, and then we knew we were vulnerable, and then we became ashamed, and then we developed the knowledge of good and evil, and then we got thrown out of paradise. It's like, that's a big problem. So what the hell are you going to do about it? Well, sacrifice. That's the hypothesis. Well, that's a hell of a hypothesis, man. That's what we're doing. You made plenty of sacrifices, even to sit in this theater, and many people made plenty of sacrifices to have a theater like this exist. And many people made sacrifices so that we could actually freely engage in the dialogue that we're engaging in a theater like this. And so it's like all of this is built on sacrifice, and sacrifice bloody well better work, because we do not have a better idea.
Babylon burn. Babylon burning, Babylon burns. They have no water. Fire, 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 fire.
Yeah, it's almost like Babylon get a kind of a sacrifice thing, a bun in right there. But here, today's daily psalm right here. Psalm 69.
Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I have become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from my servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein.
Yes, 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 yes. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 69, some really powerful verses right here, here, here. You get that verse? I will praise the name of Elohim with a song, and will magnify, big him up with thanksgiving. With Miskana and Amharic Miskana, thanksgiving for Todah, Tawada, Todah. This also shall please Yahuwah better than an ox or bullock that have horns and hoofs. Yes, the humble shall see, sing, be glad, and your heart shall live as seek Elohim. But here, let's pick up with our overview or intro. Now, this was recorded previous because the psalm comes up again within the season, opening the times coming forward at the 47th, but it really has a rhema, such as that verse, Psalm 69, key verse right there, that I will praise the name of Elohim for song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, the Torah is a thanksgiving offering, right? So the thanksgiving offering is called the Torah, to say like thanksgiving. So there's thanksgiving and there's a actual offering. So right here.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Evening and feeding. So of interest what we have with the Torah reading and feeding here for the 47th sabbatical study, and also this psalm too. I think in the previous year we have an audible. We'll probably try to share it maybe a little later on, that we was reasoning on the connection of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech Et, Samech Et, Samech Et, Psalm 69, Psalm LXIX, the prayer of the persecuted, the prayer of the persecuted. Let's just look at this right here. Yeah, Psalm 69. Just looking at the calendar, you know, I'll make sure we're in the proper order. Today's daily psalm right here for the leader, upon Shoshanim of David, a psalm of David, La Menatzeach al Shoshanim le David, prayer of the persecuted. This is a deeply, it says, pathetic human document. Pathos has to do with suffering. So there's a deep suffering, pathos, emotion in this human document that's presented by this psalm, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech Eit, Psalm 69. A devout servant of Ha'el, of the Almighty, of Elohim, is undergoing cruel treatment and feels that his sufferings are due to his, they have religious loyalty here, but his relationship loyalty to that divine covenant relationship loyalty and royalty. He pleads with Ha'el, the Almighty, Ha'el, for relief, and in burning indignation, he begs that retribution come up on his persecutors and false prosecutors. His faith, emunato, emnetu, haimenotu, his faith, his admittance, his amen, remains firm through the ordeal. And he looks to the future, what a feat, kadima, kadima, with confidence, boteach, in spite of the heading that it has here, Le David, of David. There are several passages in the Mizmor, in the psalm, in the chant, that do not fit in with his period, and rather it points to the age of the captivity, or the later time of the captivity, we say post-Davidic. It is noteworthy that the Midrash, which we like to share briefly right here, it understood the psalm, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech 8, Psalm 69, as relating to the Babylonian exile. The Babylonian exile, come out of her, my people, come out of Babylon. According to many modern commentators, the author, some say, is probably the prophet Jeremiah, Ermias, Jeremiah, and the parallels, there are parallels that can be seen between today's daily psalm, Psalm 69, and the book of the prophet Jeremiah. They are undoubtedly frequent as well as very striking. As one commentator had expressed it, this psalm, today's daily psalm, Psalm 69, should be read throughout with Jeremiah, Jeremiah, Ermias, Jeremiah in mind, the prophet Jeremiah in mind. Whether he wrote it or not, his history gives the key. Jeremiah's history, prophet Jeremiah's history gives the key to the meaning here of today's daily psalm, prayer of the persecuted, prayer of the falsely prosecuted, the persecuted. What's interesting is that this mirrors here, right, in I receptivity, the
third reading here for this third week of comfort for this Shabbat. Aniya, Aniya So'ara, Aniya So'ara, O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest. Aniya, speaking to she. So here it's actually speaking to her, it's speaking to she right here, speaking to our collective soul, our collective psyche, right, our collective nefesh right here, speaking to Kol Yisrael right here. Aniya So'ara, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. Lo, not Nuhama, not comforted. Remember the previous, Nahamu, Nahamu, comfort y'all. But she, our collective soul, our psyche, we could say Zion, Zion, right, in typology, Yerushalayim. Both of them are she as well, referring according to the Hebrew metaphysics, to our collective soul, of the soul people. Aniya so'ara loa nuhama, not comforted. Hine, behold, look, see. Hine, marabitza, ba'puk, avanik, avanayik, via saditik, vi sadatik, slika, via sadatik. Ba-sapri, behold, I will set thy stones in fear colors. Behold, hine, hine, look, see, here it is. Hine, anoki, I, myself. Marabitza, ba-puk, avanik, avanayik, I will set your stones, avanayik, speaking to she, avanayik, and lay thy foundations. We asadetik, we asadetik, thy masad, masad, sada, right? Yisod, the yisod, the foundation. We asadetik, your foundation, ba saparim, saparim, with sapphires. But it's the opening part right here, 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 that we just want to just connect the prayer of the persecuted and this comfort, right, these seven Shabbats of comfort. And here we're at the third of the seven Shabbats of comfort for the Aniya So'ara. O thou, speaking to she, saying to her, O thou afflicted and storm-tossed, Aniya So'ara, prayer of the persecuted. Shema, Shema. Here, here, here. Shema Yisrael.
מזמור סמך ב' למנצח על שושנים לדרושנים
Samek 8, Samek 8. Lamnatziach al Shoshani leDavid. Hosha'ini Elohim. Ki ba'u ma'im ad nafesh. Tava'iti bi'awen mi'zula wa'ena ma'omad. Ba'ati bi'ma'e ma'ke'a ma'im. Ve'eshiboleta shitafatni ya ga'itia de karei ni hara ge'aroni
kalu aynaya me yachela lel hay rabu amia sa'erota roshia sonaya chinam atzmua matzamitaya oivaya shekar asher loa gazaltia alza Ashiv, Azashiv, for the leader upon Shoshanim of David, Mizmor Samek Tait, Lamna Tzeach al Shoshanim leDavid, Hoshi'ayni Elohim, save I, O Elohim, Hoshi'ayni. Hoshaini Elohim, Hoshaini Elohim, Ki Bau Maima Adanafesh, for the waters are come in even to the soul. Ki Bau Maim, for they are come Adanafesh, reaching to the soul. Hoshaini Elohim, Ki Bau Maim Adanafesh. Avaiti Abiawain Mitsula Uaina Ma Omad Baiti Bia Mae Make Maim We Shibolet Shitafatni I am sunk in deep mire where there is no standing. Avaiti Be a wain, ta baeti, be a wain, mitzula, wihain, ma'omad, where there is no standing. I am sunk in deep mire. I am come into deep waters. Baati, I am come baati, be'a ma'e ma'ke ma'im. Be ma'im, into deep waters with shibolet, and the floods, shitafatni, overwhelm I, with shibolet, shitafatni, and the floods overwhelm I. I am weary. I'm weary with my crying. Ya gaiti bi kari. Nihar gironi. Nihar, my throat is dried. Nihar garoni. Kalu aynaya niyachela lel hai. Mine eyes fail while I wait for El Hai Hailiai, my true God, my Elohim. Kalu aynaya niyachela lel hai. Rabu. Mi sa'erota roshia sonaya chinam. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Rabu. Mi sa'erota roshi. And the hairs of my head. Rabu. Enough. Rabu. Mia sa erota roshi, sonai ya chinam, sonai, enemies, chinam, without cause, chinam. Atzmu, matza mitaya oivai sheker, they that would cut me off, being mine enemies wrongfully, are many. They that would cut me off. Should I restore that which I took not away? Asher lo gazalti. As Ashiv, should I restore, should I return that which I did not take away? Today's daily psalm, first 4 to 5 verses, including a superscription, Mizmor Samek 8, Psalm LXIX, Psalm 69, prayer of the persecuted, the falsely prosecuted, deeply pathetic, the pathos, this human document of the deep human pathos and pathologies presented here in today's Mizmor, today's psalm, today's daily psalm according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the order of Malachi is Edek, Melchizedek, we have Mizmor Samek 8, Psalm 69. A devout servant of Elohim, the true good, the true God, is undergoing cruel treatment and feels that his sufferings are due to his religious, spiritual, irriticality, loyalty to his faith and his faithfulness. He pleads with Elohim for relief, and in burning indignation begs that retribution come upon his persecutors and false prosecutors. His faith remains firm through the ordeal, and he looks to the future with confidence, of evidence, that confidence in the victory of good over evil. In spite of the heading Le David of David, there are several passages in the Mizmor which do not seem to fit in with his period, and rather point to the age, the time of the captivity. It's also noteworthy that the Midrash, the Judaic study, understood this Mizmor, this psalm, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samek 8, Psalm LXIX, Psalm 69, as relating to the Babylonian exile. According to many modern commentators, the author is probably, they say, the prophet Jeremiah. And the parallels between this psalm, the Mizmor Samek 8, and Jeremiah's book are undoubtedly frequent and striking. As one commentator has so expressed it, quote, "This psalm should be read throughout with Jeremiah in mind. Whether he wrote it or not, his history gives the key to its meaning." And we would say also to the right now, the Rhema application. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and hereafter the order of Malachi Zedek, Melchizedek, Mizmor, Samek.
מזמור סמכת למנצח על שושנים לדוד. הושיעני אלוהים, חיבה ומים עד נפש. טבעתי בבן מצולע ואין מועמד. באתי ומעמקי מים ושיבולת שתפתני. יגעתי וקוראי, ניחר גרוני, קלו עיניי מייחל לאלוהי. רבו משערות ראשי שונאי חינם, עצמו מצמיתי אויבי שקר, אשר לא גזלתי אז אשיב. אלוהים, אתה ידעת לאיוולתי, ואשמותי ממך לא נכחדו. אל יבושו בי קובעך, אדוני אלוהים צבאות, אל יקלמו בי מבקשך, אלוהי ישראל. כי עליך נשאתי חרפה, תסתה חלימה פניי. מוזר הייתי לאחי, ונוכרי לבני אמי. כי קנאת ביתך אכלתני, וחרפות חורפיך נפלו עלי. ואבכה וצום נפשי, ותהי לחרפות לי. ואתנה לבושי שק, ואהי להם למשל. יסיחו בי יוש ושער ונגינות שוטה שחר ואני תפילתי לך אדוני עת רצון אלוהים ברוב חסדך ענני באמת ישעך הצילני מתית ועל אטבעה אם נצלה משונאי וממעמקי מים אל תשטפני שיבולת מים ואל תבלעני מצולה ואל תאתר עליי באר פיה ענני אדוני כי טוב חסדך כרוב רחמך פנה אליי ואל תסתר פניך מעבדך כי צר לי מהר ענני קרבה אל נפשי גאלה למען אויביי בדני אתה ידעת חרפתי ובושתי וכלימתי נגדך כל צורריי חרפה שברה ליבי ואנושה ואקבל לנוד ועין ולמנחמים ולא מצאתי ויתנו בברותי ראש ולצמאי ישקוני חומץ יהי שולחנם לפניהם לפח ולשלומים למוקש תחשכנה עיניהם מראות ומותניהם תמיד המעד שפוך עליהם זעמך וחרון אפך יסיגם תהי קירתם נשמה באהוליהם על יהי יושב כי אתה אשר הקית רדפו ואל מכאוב חלליך יספרו הנה עוון על עוונם ואל יבואו בצדקתך ימחו מספר חיים ועם צדיקים אל יכתבו ואני עני וכואב ישועתך אלוהים תשגבני אהללה שם אלוהים בשיר ואגדלנו ותודה ותיטב לאדוני מישור פר מקרין מפריס ראו ענבים ישמחו דורשי אלוהים וחי לבבכם כי שומע אל אביונים אדוני ואת אסיריו לא וזה יהללוהו שמיים וארץ ימים וכל רומס בם כי אלוהים יושיע ציון ויבנה ערי יהודה וישבו שם וירשוה וזרע עבדיו ינחלוה ואוהבי שמו ישכנו
So we always need more chizik. The Gemara tells us that one of the things that always we need help in strengthening is our tefillah. So one may ask, how can I keep myself motivated for tefillah? How can I keep myself motivated to pray to God? I see things that I'm not getting answered. You know, it's very hard. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it. And first off, this comes from a person having to know how big tefillah really is and what's on the other side of it. You have to understand that a lot of times when we meet a lot of resistance in something that is so huge and something that's so big, and you have to understand that the other side knows the sitra achra, the satan, the devil, the whatever you want to call it, the other side of resistance already knows how important prayer actually is. So what do you think? That it's going to be one of the main places that a person is going to have to experience that battle, that fight. But what should strengthen the person is that they should already know, they should be able to judge it by how hard it is for them to do it, that they're able to know how big this thing really is. So that should be motivation for everybody. Rashi himself says that when it says in the Gemara and the second Brachos, it says that there are things that stand at the height of the world. He says, this is tefillah, this is prayer. Say that the height of what, but is disrespected the most. People don't take it serious. They don't understand that on the other side of this, it's not a maybe. I'm telling you this, especially on the things that are ruchnias, things that are spiritual. It's not maybe. Hashem will save the person. It's going to be dependent on how much emunah you have and how much betachin you have, how much trust that you have and your prayers. That's what's going to depend on you being saved or not. So that should be the chizuk. It's definitely, I see that it's very, very hard for me to pray, for me to open up and to be able to say whatever. I can't feel Hashem. Hashem feels far from me. You should know that in that moment right now, you're facing the biggest resistance because the biggest prize is on the other side of that. So we should all strengthen ourselves with the feeling of that Hashem.
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme. For with stammering lips and another tongue, and another tongue to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme.
Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. In today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, here we have Psalm 69. And in Psalm 69, there's a few correspondences which may be compared with the Brit Chadasha, of the New Covenant, the Renewed Covenant reading here in today's daily psalm. Today's daily psalm, we have a prayer of the persecuted. We also have a messianic psalm right here, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech Tate, the Samech Tate psalm, the 69th psalm. Firstly, we have verse 9. Verse 9 in the KJV, corresponding to verse 10 in the Sefer Tehillim. This is the verse right here where it reads, because zeal for thy house hath eaten I up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee I are fallen upon me, are fallen upon I. Ki kinat beitika e kalatni with cherpota chorfeka naflu olai. So here we have the first of a series of quotes that are repeated in the Brit Chadasha and emphasized. This is the first one, for the zeal of thy house have eaten I up, ki kina tabetika, ikalatini, kalatini has eaten ani, I have eaten me up. For the zeal, for the zealousy, ki yakinat, the same word here, often translated sometimes as jealousy, but here we have the true meaning, zeal, the zeal of thy house, ki kinat beitika, kalatni, has eaten me. Here we have it repeated in John's Gospel, John chapter 2, verse 17, and his disciples, and the Talmudim, the Dekamas Amoret, the disciples, his disciples remembered that it was written. It was written, where was it written? It was written here, in today's daily psalm, that the zeal of thine house hath eaten I up, ki yakina'ata beitika, e kalatni. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17. And here is the first verse which we have in today's daily psalm, in the Brit Chadasha. Next, we have the next part of the verse. The next part of the verse here in Psalm 69, and the reproaches of them that reproach the eye are fallen upon me, are fallen upon I. With cherpot chorfeka naflu alai. The reproaches of them that reproach the eye, with cherpot chorfeka, chorfeka, those who reproach ka, the I, male, naflu, 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 to fall, naflu, they fall, olai, upon I, they fall upon me, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Here in Romans Gospel, the epistle, speak of the epistle to the Romans,
An epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 3. For even Moshiach, even Christos, even Christ, even the anointed, please not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For even Messiah. What does this mean, Habarim? That even Moshiach, even the anointed, even Messiah pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So the first portion of this particular verse here in verse 9 KJV, verse 10, the Sefer Tehillim in the Hebrew, Psalm 69, the first part of the verse, for the zeal of thine house, of the I house, have eaten I up, ki kinat betika it kalatni, and the second part of the verse, we cherpot chorfeka naflu alai. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fall on me. What does this mean? That Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches. It's like someone saying, take it out on me. I'm willing to take it for thee. And here we have the zeal. Let's speak of the kinaat. What is the kinaat? Beitika. The jealousy, the zeal for a house, the jealousy, the zeal for thy house, the I house, Beitika. Some say either it's the purity of the Beit Mikdash, the holy temple, the holy place, or the integrity of the Beit Yisrael, the Beit Yisrael, the house, the theme here, the I house, Beitika, Beit. Now, if it's the latter, speaking about the integrity, the straightforwardness, you can say the uprightness, the straightness, the integrity of the Beit Yisrael, instances are to be found in Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 15, chapter 12, verse 7, chapter 23, verse 11, again, for the zeal, bringing out the zeal, ki kinat betika, it kalatni, because for zeal, for the I betika, hath eaten I up, it kalatni, reproaches. They who scoffed at the true worship of Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, both then and especially now, they pour their scorn upon his servants, who spoke and who speak Bishmo, in his name, in the Hashem, in his name. Now, this happened with the prophet Jeremiah as well. We have Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8. This is a word of power right here, as we have this word sound echoing and resonating even in the Brit Chadasha, both in the mouth of HaMoshiach, Yeshua, as well as Hawari Apollos, Rav Shaul, as well as the Apostle and Apostle Paul. For even Christ Moshiach pleased not himself. So it's not about I and I just pleasing I and I self, but fulfilling the will as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee I fell, they fall upon I, and even I, and I, and I, and I, 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 and I,
for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and 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 stammering lips. For with stammering lips and another tongue, and another tongue, to this place, speak to this place, speak to this.
Oh, shalom, chavarim, shalom. Today's daily psalm is not just a psalm for chanting, but it's also a psalm for study. We have a messianic psalm, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech 8, Psalm LXIX, Psalm 69, prayer of the persecuted.
You say the prosecuted and falsely prosecuted and persecuted, a cry of distress and also imprecation on adversaries, on haters and adversaries and Satans, right? A cry of distress. Today's Daily Psalm, we have New Testament quotations from and references to this mizmor, this chant, this intonation. It indicates in what way it adumbrates, it foreshadows. Foreshadowing forth shadows HaMoshiach. Today's Daily Psalm, Lam Natseyach Al Shoshanim Le Dawi. For the chief musician, to the chief musician, to the Menatseyach, Lam Natseyach, Lam Menatseyach Al Shoshanim. On the Shoshanim, to the director, for the changings, Le Dawi. Of David, implied here a psalm, a chant, an intonation of Dawi. So this psalm is a messianic psalm. It is a mizmor, a chant, intonation of his humiliation and rejection. We have the key verses, verses 4, verses 7, verses 8, and verses 10 to 12. So verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 10 to 12 speak of HaMoshiach, Messiahs, and also the Messiahites, Ionized, humiliation and rejection. The humiliation and rejection. So a groundation right here on today's daily psalm. This is not just a psalm for chant and intonation, but also, keyly, it's a psalm for study. It's a messianic psalm. So we'd like to touch on a few highlights in today's daily psalm for study. It is, yes, it is, it is, it is. It was written, right? And here it is written. So we have verses 14 to 20. Verses 14 to 20. Well describes the exercises to stay fit, right? Exercises, iritically fit, the exercises of his holy, his Isla soul, Nafesh HaMoshiach, in Gethsemane, Gethsemane, Gethsemane. We have Matthew's gospel, the gospel according to Matteo, Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 45, while verse 21 is a direct reference to the cross, even the finding, the meskel, the finding of the true cross. Here, Romans, the epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 bring this out. With the present, judicial blindness. So speaking about this blindness in part has happened to Yisrael. The present judicial blindness of Yisrael, even the once lost now found, to the Lion of Judah. Weep not, behold. Conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Weep not, behold, Garmawi, Karmawi, Haile Selassie has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So this psalm in connection with HaMoshiach, bringing forward here, verse 25, having special reference to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, let's emphasize that because the scripture says, and Judas, not Iscariot. Do you know the verse? Do you know the scripture in the gospel, the good news, where it says Judas, not Iscariot? Here we are speaking of Asakrotawi. Iscariot, Iscariot, the man of the cities, Iscariot, or Yehuda Iscariot, which is a symbol and a type of all such, we could say, Negroes, right, that reject their own, especially the righteous, right, that reject the righteous, as Judas in his, well, Judas is a special case, and Judas is mentioned here, but we're speaking about Judas, you know, say the Jews, right, the Jews killed Jesus, but that's not true, they betrayed him just as blacks, lost sheep, will have done to their own, the Iscariot types. So let's emphasize on the Iscariot more so than the Judas. See, the Western Gentile world, of course, they would emphasize more on Judas, right, to say Yehuda and Judah, to say the once lost, now found, and also with their anti-so-called Semitisms and the anti-Afro-Semitisms, Shemiticisms of we, the black Jews, to we and against we, based on these misinterpretations here. But this is speaking about Iscariot. The Ethiopians call him Iscariot, focusing on that qualification, as we have in the Gospels where it says Judas, Yehuda, Judah, the same one that is the reputed author of the Epistle of Jude. So they say, hey, Jude. So we have these different Western, Gentile, white world, so-called interpretations or translations. But getting to the root of it, we have verse 25 referring to Judas Iscariot, to Iscariot, also Acts of the Apostles 1 and 20, who is thus made a type or typical of his generation. Of his generation. Now, it's interesting to look at this even in the context of the Torah portion reading and feedings, and even with those in that generation that came out and were brought out, redeemed out of Kemet, of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, but did not enter in.
right? So this is also a type of that particular generation, right? That generation that fell short, right? And the different reasons, the examples we have in Numbers and even here in Devarim, Deuteronomy. But here, they share his guilt. His guilt. Now, the next in the order of the Messianic Psalms is Psalm 70, 72. But here, Shema Yisrael, here, Yavir right here. Today's daily psalm has about six main, we could say, sections, right? When we look at the content and the theme and what is contained. The first opening section, now, if you're looking at KJV, the KJV verse would be 1, verses 1 to verse 6. In the Sefer Tehillim, this will be the second verse to verse 7, because superscription also counts as a verse, Hebraically, Judaic, according to we Yehudis. But in the Western Gentile version, they usually have that as a superscription, but that's also counted as a verse. So the first section is the appeal for help. We have the first section, verses 1 to 6, KJV-wise, the appeal for help. In verses 7 to 12, we have him suffering and the suffering in Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God's cause, suffering for thy sake. For thy sake, that key word, for thy sake. So we have verses 7 to 12, the second section of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech 8, Psalm 69. Then we have verses 13 to 18. Verses 13 to 18, the prayer for deliverance, for deliverance, for deliverance. The prayer for deliverance, verses 13 to verse 18. Then we come to verses 19, it'll be 19 within the KJV, 19 and 21. His sufferings, and I sufferings retold, speaking of my reproach, the sufferings retold, verses 19, we have verses 19 to verse 21. Then we have verses 22 to 28, he imprecates, or in that sense, curses, or the consequences to his haters, the consequences to his and I adversaries and enemies. Then we have verses 29 to verse 36, deliverance, deliverance, it awaits him and Yisrael. And that right there is the more of the concluding, right, the concluding section, right? So we have about six sections. Now, with the New Testament quotations in today's daily psalm, because today's daily psalm is really a very good and important study, right? There's also a seventh section of verse, because we have six verses that we can compare and contrast, both from the Torah, when we say the Torah of Yehudi, because the Psalms is referred to where Yeshua said, how Moshiach said, and it's written in your law, referring to the Psalms, because the Psalms are also in five volumes, five books. But here, the first is verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 for a moment. Looking at the New Testament quotations, also have this document here, the New Testament quotations, collated with the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures, referring to this as a study point of reference, a Mishnah, as we are here in the Torah of the Mishnah, of the studies, right here, in the repetition of the law. So we have verse 4 where it says, they that hate me, that hate I, without a cause, are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy I being, mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. This particular verse, there's a marginal note in the Scofield Study Bible next to verse 4. So we have Psalm 69 at verse 4, and here we have a superscription D next to that, the they, in they that hate me. And it points right here to the margin where we have Psalm 35 and 19, as well as John's Gospel, John chapter 15, verse 25. Now, this is very, very interesting. Let's look at the autobiography of His Majesty, Book 1, for a moment right here, to rightly divide by the word of truth in I studies. And there is the Mekdem, the preface, and in the preface, there's a quote to, okay, it's John's Gospel, Kedusa, Johannes' Gospel, Wengel, chapter 15, verse 5, where His Majesty quotes, you could say, quotes the Son, speaking the word. He says the word right here, says, for without me you can do nothing. That quote from that same area of scripture. So John's Gospel, chapter 15, both in the Mekdem of Garmawi Negus Neges, the King Messiah, Garmawi Hanna Selassie, and also here
in the mouth of the Bain Elohim Chaim, the son of the living power, HaMoshiach, Yeshua. So we have, this is the first New Testament, we could say, quotation and link. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 25. Let's look at this quickly right here. Give ear right here, 15:25. As we said, today's daily psalm says to give praise with understanding, but my skill with skill, with understanding, to study, to shoot, I and I shall to prove. So the study is in order right here, studying the song, the psalm, the music sheet, and the point of reference. 15:25, John's Gospel, it says, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, in their Torah, their law, they hated me without a cause. So we have John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 25, bringing out and giving due emphasis right here to this first of the Brit Chadash quotation, they that hate I without cause. The fuller verses are more than the hairs of mine head. Then there's a semicolon bringing out the sense of, okay, this is to say, they that would destroy me, destroy I, being, mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. So this is the first of the six or seven quotes we have directly from this psalm to the Brit Chadasha, the renewed covenant. And the first verse right here, the first word will be verse 4. Verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 for a moment, getting this groundation at verse 4. In the Sefer Tehillim, it will correspond to verse 5. But KJV-wise, Psalm 69, verse 4, it says, Arabu, Arabu, Mi sa'irot aroshi, sonai chinam, they that hate me without a cause, sonai, the haters, sonai chinam is a very, very interesting, the term chinam. Chinam means without cause in that sense. Chinam brings out the sense of like for gratis, for nothing, without cause. So when HaMoshiach, you know, when he says, you know, without cause, he is referring to the principle of HaTorah, even in their law, speaking of the five books of Psalms, the Sefer Tehillim, and here in this psalm, those who hate me without a cause, Rabu, mi sa'rota roshi, sonai chinam, atzmu, we have atzmu, powerful, mighty, atzmu, matzamitai, those who would destroy me, matzamitai, oivai shekar, oibai shekar. So oibai, my enemies, oibai, oive, oibai, my enemies, shekar. Shekar is wrongfully. Shekar is like a lie. Shekar, deceitfully, wrongfully. What I did not steal. Now, so here he says, literally in the Hebrew, at verse 4, asher lo gazalti az ashib. What, asher, that which, what I did not steal. Lo, gazalti, lo, no, gazalti, I stole, lo, gazalti, I did not steal, that which asher, lo, gazalti, as, then, ashiv, then, I have to restore, ashiv, I then have to restore, or even ask as a question. We also have this sense of the question here coming out more in the Hebrew. Should I restore that which I took not away, or should I give back that which I didn't steal? Asher lo gazalti az ashiv. Asher lo gazalti az ashiv. Az ashiv. Should I restore it? Should I restore that which I did not seize by force? Then I had to pay for. Then I had to restore. I had to return. I had to kind of give again. Right? Freely were strengthened mine enemies for nothing without cause. Mine enemies were strengthened, the ones driving me out unjustly based on the lie. What I did not seize by force, then I paid for. So remember, this is a messianic psalm right here. This is why we have this quote right here. It's very interesting to quote this verse, Psalm 69, verse 4. We have it also as well in Psalm 35. Psalm 35, 19. Let's just look at Psalm and give an ear to 35, 19. In Psalm 35, 19, what does it say? It says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully, chinam, without cause, sense of without cause, rejoice over me. They have no just, no righteous cause in his sight. right, in his sight. In their sight, yeah, but they're blind. Judicial blindness, remember, has happened to Yisrael. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over I, neither. Let them wink with the eye that hate I without cause, that sense of without cause, bringing out the idea of without cause. So make a note of the without cause aspect right there. So here is the first New Testament reference here. And what's interesting is that even in this quotation book, they point to Psalm 35:19, but it's in the Scofield Study Bible, in the margin next to verse 4, pointing to the marginal notes that says right here, Psalm 35:19 and John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 25. So remember, it is a psalm, a mezmor, a chant, a witness, an intonation of his humiliation, his and I and I humiliation, because we suffer, right, with HaMoshiach, is so that we reign with him, right, as well. So, you know, like you have a one-on-one is with you in bad times, they have a right to be with you in good times. It is a psalm of his humiliation, I and I humiliation and rejection. Verses 4, verse 7, 8, verse 10 to 12 bring out this particular idea. And this brings us right here to the next quote, the next verse, verse 9, speaking of the zeal and jealousy, or we can even say jealousy, the zeal. So here we're at verse 9. Let's take a listen here at verse 9. It'll be verse 10 in the Hebrew, in the Sefer Tehillim. Ki na'at beitika akalatini with chirpot chorseka naflu alai, for zeal, kiyak in at, for zeal, for zealousness. One could say even jealousness, this is the same word, kiyak in at betika, for zeal, for your house, betika, has consumed me, ikalatini, it has eaten, ikalatini, it has eaten I, it has consumed I, with cherpot, with cherpot, and the reproaches, the cherpot, and the reproaches, chorseka, of those who reproach ka, the I male, speaking of he who he be, naflu, alai, naflu, nafal, to fall, naflu, they fall, alai, upon I. For the zeal of your house has devoured I, and the scornings of the one scorning and berating the I, fell upon I. Now, this is also spoken right here in John's Gospel. Again, a quote to Johannes, John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. They remembered where it was written here in this messianic psalm. So even the quotes by HaMoshiach referring to this messianic psalm, and how even the disciples, the Talmudim at first, they did not get it, but then they got it. They remembered. Now we also have, that's the first part of the verse, but then it says, and the reproaches of them that reproach the I are fallen upon I. Romans, the epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 3. For even Moshiach, Christos Christ, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee I fell on I. The reproaches of those who, of all of them that reproach Hashem, they fall upon I, because I and I are in that new name, precious name, new name, Rastafari. So here we have this groundation so far, three particular quotes from today's daily psalm that refer both to the gospel, the good news, right, as well as to the epistles, but speaking of the Berit Chadasha. Now, this brings us here to what verse, which verse? Verse 9. Brings to verse 9 in the KJV, corresponding to verse 10. Now, this is in the section, the second section, verses 7 to verse 12, he and I suffering in Jah's cause. Suffering in Jah's cause, right? Not trimming I and I away to be loved by the world, flesh, and the satanic succor, but going through that suffering for Jah's cause, right? Then we have, moving forward right here, the next section will be verses 13 to 18, the prayer for deliverance, the prayer for deliverance, bringing us right here to verse 21, we have verse 21 that reads, KJV, they gave me also gall for my meat, or my meal, my food, my edible, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So let's go forward to this section right here, which his sufferings here is retold. After there's the prayer, right, we had the prayer for deliverance, verses 13 to verse 18, bringing us right here to verse 19 to verse 21. His suffering is retold, a retelling, right, of what one and one and HaMashiach, right, the true one, been through, and also as a type and typology. But here we have, right, here we have, let's bring this up to this verse right here, correspond to verse 22 in the Hebrew. Why yitnu be baruti rosh we litza mai yashkuni chometz. They also gave me gall or rosh, right? We have rosh here, which is, we'll bring this out as we go through it, for my food, or baruti, a word that means food, but also barut, it refers, in a sense, to like the bara, like what's select, the feed, even in a sense, also to give food, to give meat, but also in a sense, it could be feed, for also like to feed, even like to feed animals, in a sense, we can bring that kind of idea, baruti, but what is selected for feed, they have given to I, but the gall, let's touch on this word gall, because here in the Hebrew, it reads here, yay, they put poison in my food. Wayitnu be baruti rosh. They put a rosh in my food. Now we know rosh in Hebrew also means head, right? Well, rosh also here refers to gall, right? So we have rosh, rawash, a poisonous plant, rosh. Probably it's referring to poppy, the poppy, from its conspicuous head. This is why the word also means head, rosh, like ras, rosh, the conspicuous head. You ever see a poppy plant? Right, got a big head. But generally, this is considered poison, and in a metaphoric sense, also the poison of serpents. So KJV often brings this out as gall, hemlock. You have people talking about hemlock, poison, or in a parabolic sense, venom. Right, like the serpent's venom. So what do we have here? The language of the verse is figurative. The sense is like they added salt to my wounds. The Hebrew idiom, they added salt to my, more than failing to sympathize with me, with I and I. They aggravated I and I hard lot, I and I trials and tribulation. The word food, barut, he said baruti. Wayitnu be baruti arosh. We litzamayi yashakuni chometz. They gave me what? They put poison into my food. Baruti rosh. It's a poison. A special word, barut, is employed, meaning the meal that is supplied to a mourner by sympathetic friends. So this is why the sense of it is like they added salt to my wounds. Because the barut in this sense was selected, the feed, what is to be fed here, is given to a mourner, right, in the context of it by sympathetic friends. It is used here to emphasize the hypocrisy of their conduct. Now, this is a very, very important verse right here because we have this repeated in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 34 and verse 48. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Then Mark 15, verses 23 and 36, they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And in Luke's Gospel 23, 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. And also here in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. And Yeshua, why Yomer said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Kulam, it's finished. It's done. It's finished. So we have these quotes right here. This verse is quoted in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the pillars of the Gospel, this particular verse right here, which is in the section, his sufferings, retelling of the sufferings, which actually includes this verse. We have this verse, verse 20, 21, right, verse 21, 19, 20:21. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, no one. And for comforters I found none, no one. They gave me also gall, poison, for my food, for like my mourner's food, for my suffering, right? They gave me poison or, you know, gall, hemlock, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, this is important because it sets up the next section, verses 22 to 28. He imprecates. It's also a theme of this psalm, imprecations, or tells of the consequences. Some might say curses his enemies. The thought of their despicable behavior and his unjust sufferings, it breaks down his power of restraint. You know, you're holding it, you're holding it back, but you let it go. And in fiery indignation, he begs, Me'er Elohim of the true God, not to let them go unpunished. Divine justice cannot permit such villainies to pass uncondemned. And here's where the next interesting set of quotes and sections is brought forward. Let their table become a snare before them. We have this in Romans chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. So we come across this verse, but there's a reason. Right, there's a reason for the season. Remember, this is a prophetic psalm, also known in so-called Old Testament times as a prophetic psalm of HaMoshiach. Let their table before them become a snare, a trap, a snare, right? Become a snare. This verse right here, become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. So we have these verses right here, verses 22 and 23 quoted here in Romans chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Then as we go forward to verse 25, let their habitation be desolate and let none, no one dwell in their tents. We have Matthew 23:38, behold, your house is left to you desolate. Luke 13:35, behold, your house is left to you desolate, in Acts chapter 1, verses 16 and verse 20. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Ruach HaKadosh, the Ila Irit, the Holy Spirit, the Memphis Kedus, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Yehuda or Judas. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And we also have, lastly but not leastly, verse 28. Remember, this is all in the imprecations to his enemies. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, the book of life, the book of the living. Here we have Philemon 4 and 3, whose names are in the book of life, Revelation 3 and 5, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, Revelation 13 and 8, whose names, Shemot, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 17 and 8, whose Shemot, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, Revelation 20, verse 12 and verse 15, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 21, 27, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And finally, we have Revelation 22 and 19, Ha Elohim, the true God, shall take away his part out of the book of life, the Sefer Chaim, Ha Chaim, the book of life, the book of the living. And this is where these verses here are very important for the meditation, even here. Shema'ah, give ear to today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech 8, Psalm 69, Psalm LX, IX,
IX, IX, IX, IX, IX, IX.
I shall never pray.
Them mostly things that them can't stop me from sing.
Cause I saw the light, no more in darkness. Last day I put me in the light. Yeah.
One man me fear a the Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire. All when me know enough
coulda never deal. Real, when you try stopping me, seems like you are send me to the battlefield. Press where you want, press, are you a steal? Run where you want, run, are you a wheel? Then straight up, then I coulda where you feel. Man a soldier, so me coulda never kneel. One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me no, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta. Tell dirty mind, bad mind fi fence with. Them coulda never live fi bench with. Cause to just give the praise fi I sense a day so. We basket no empty. Enough time, them try fi tempt me. Must it show me a lead by far and them see. Them team up and a sign and a tie stop me time from. Me make me empty. But a one man, me fear of the father. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no shield. All when set a fire. All when me no have no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's for real. The pain me a feel them a kill with some vendetta. One man me fear of the Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no shield. All when set a fire. All when me no have no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's for real. The pain me a feel them a kill with some vendetta.
Psalm 69.
Mizmor samechtet lamnatseyah al shoshanim ledavid.
Save me, O God.
Hoshi'eni Elohim.
For the waters are coming unto my soul.
Kiva umayim ad nafesh.
Psalm 69.
Mizmor samechtet lamnatseyah al shoshanim ledavid.
Save me, O God.
Hoshi'eni Elohim.
For the waters are coming unto my soul.
Kiva umayim ad nafesh.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunken. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from my servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw an eye unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein, 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 dwell therein.